for solutions, and the answer is so hard to find. Are the pressures of life getting you down, and you need peace of mind? Why don't you cast your cares on Jesus? For you know he cares for you. Is there anything too hard for him that he cannot do? And the answer is so hard to find. Are the pressures of life getting you down, and you need peace of mind? Why don't you cast your cares on Jesus? For you know he cares for you. Is there anything too hard for him that he cannot do?
Yeah. loving church, come on, let's worship the Lord for a while. Ah, this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Glory. Hallelujah. Why don't you step across the aisle, shake your neighbor's hand, welcome them into the house of the Lord today. Amen. Several guests with us. Amen. Spend some time shaking hands, greeting one another in the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Ah, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, say amen. Amen. Appreciate you being with us today in God's house. Look forward to what the Lord has planned for us today. Amen. Deacons, help me if you would. Let's worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. God bless you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord, the work of God. Amen. Each and every one of you, God bless your faithfulness. Amen. To the work of the Lord. Church, let's let all of our first-time guests, let them know we're glad to have them in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's give us unto the Lord today. Brother Jeremy Miles, lead us to the Lord in prayer, would you please? Amen. God bless you as you give. A few announcements to remind you of as they're receiving the offering this morning, and then Brother Mark, if you'll sing for us. This Thursday is a wedding shower for Brother Nathaniel Aslan, Sister Shayla Morgan, so excited for them, and it's this Thursday night at 7 o'clock at the Fellowship Hall. So the information is on the bulletin board in the back, but we'd like for you to support them and appreciate what God is doing in their lives. So remember that this Thursday at 7 o'clock. Also, today is the final day for the Richlands trip. If you're planning on going on the Richlands trip, make sure you get signed up today on the bus, and I believe God's going to help us in a marvelous way at that meeting. And so to be leaving Wednesday morning, coming back Saturday, and I realize school starts the next week, and so I had one or two last year that didn't go because they said school starts the next week. I said, what's that got to do with anything? I encourage you young folks to get on the bus and go. I'm preaching the meeting, and I'll be preaching the Sunday after the meeting, and guess what? School starts the next week, so Jesus might come while we're at Richlands, so that'd be a better place than just sitting around doing nothing at the house. So I encourage you to get on that bus, and let's go to camp meeting and have a wonderful, wonderful time in God, and just the accommodations are wonderful there, and they take wonderful care of us. Good meals and transportation is provided, so it's a blessing for you to be able to get to go to that meeting. So remember that, if you would. Also, there was an announcement this morning, and if you didn't pay attention to that, there's a way for you to be a blessing to the seminary this year, and that is in just, 3 weeks from today, a lot of the students and parents will be with us. We anticipate somewhere around 25, 26, 27 students on campus this fall. And so we're excited about that. So I'm thrilled for that, and God's really helping us. One way that you can be a blessing is in the meals, the evening meals that are provided for the students. And a lot of people have done weekly. Some have done every other week. Some do once a month. But if you're interested in cooking a meal for the students, the evening meals, see Sister Anita Miles, if you would. You can see me if you want to. The school provides the groceries, so there's no cost to you. It's just labor-intensive that you'd be willing to cook the meal for them. And if you could do it once a month, once a week, however, whatever your schedule allows, it'd be a great way for you to interact with the students, get to meet the students, and then be a blessing to the kingdom of God as well. All right, so keep that in mind if you're able to accommodate that. Also, one way, 25 students coming to campus, it's a new church for them. I encourage you to, we'll try to have a social event that Sunday for you to get to meet them. But if there's odd jobs around your house, things that you just could use a couple of college kids for on a Saturday, this and that or whatever, for some of them, it's hard for them to hold down a job with their schedules and all the ministries when we send them out. So if there's something that you've got around the house that you need done, some odd jobs, see Sister Brino Davis or myself on that, and that would be a blessing as well. So pray for the school, pray for the seminary. The Lord would just bless in a mighty way. I'd love to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God this year as God anoints those students to send them out into ministry and do a great work for the Lord. So commit to pray, if you would, on a daily basis for all of those that are involved in the school, those that are on faculty, the administration, but the students as well. God would just meet the needs that they have and use them in the body of Christ. They're excited about the will of God, and I'm glad they're coming to church with us, and this is a wonderful place, a wonderful atmosphere that we get to pour ourselves into those students, and you can be a part of that. So if any of those things resonate with you, let me know, and we'll give you the details. Amen. Brother Mark, let's worship the Lord.
God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to life, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon, and an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Sing with me. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth a living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, oh, I'll see the lights of glory. Then I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Just because He lives, I know my fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, and I'll fight life's final war with pain. Oh, but then as death eager's way to victory, glory, then I'll know He reigns. Oh, because because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Ah, thank God. Lift your hands and love the Lord that you know He's alive in your heart today. Thank God, thank God. We love you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. We magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We enter your gates with praise and thanksgiving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to read with me this morning, St. Luke chapter number 16, starting at verse number 19. Luke chapter number 16, starting at verse number 19. Amen. As you're turning there, I don't know, Friday come down with some sort of sinus infection or bronchial infection or something, so I apologize in advance for the roughness of my voice, but I'd like to share the burden of my heart with you today, and really feel like it'd be a wonderful day for somebody to get saved. Amen. Amen. Give their heart, life back to the Lord, and that's just been the burden of my heart the last 24 hours or so, getting ready for this service. I want to preach to you this morning about a glimpse into a place called hell. A glimpse into a place called hell. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. The Bible said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. A glimpse into a place called hell. I want to talk to you from this passage of Scripture today about the actuality of hell, that it's not a figment of our imagination, but the actuality of hell. From this passage of Scripture, we also can see the attributes of hell, as hell is described, what hell is and what hell is not. And that I also want to talk to you about the way to avoid hell. And I think that's found here as well. Let me talk to you first of all from this story that Jesus talks to us about the rich man and the beggar, about the actuality of hell. The actuality of hell. The Bible speaks clearly, emphatically, and certainly there is a place called hell. We don't like to comprehend it. We don't like to think much about it. But that does not change the reality. There is a place called hell. In Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 41 and 42, Jesus warns that there is a place called hell. It's a furnace of fire that people are cast into. Jesus himself preached more about hell than any other subject that we find recorded in Scripture, certainly more than heaven itself. And so we understand today, if there is a heaven for the redeemed of God and the child of God, if we're excited about heaven, then the converse also has to be true, that there's a place for the unregenerated. There's a place for the unsaved. There's a place where those that are lost and outside of the ark of safety are going to spend their eternity. It will not be in the glory of heaven, but friend, it'll be in the torments of a place called hell. Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter number 25 to be warned about departing into everlasting fire, because it was a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus warned so much about the torments of hell that Jesus said that if you have an eye that offends you, pluck it out, that is what would cause you to be cast into hell. Jesus warned and said that if your hand offends you, cut it off. It would be better to enter into life maimed without a hand or an eye than to be cast into this place called hell. I want us to comprehend today that as the writer of Luke's gospel opens up this glimpse into a place called hell, it should challenge us, it should awaken us, it should cause us to have a burden for lost humanity, it should cause us to pray through and be on fire for God, and it should also cause us to want to reach our families for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 25 and 46, there is an everlasting punishment that is never ending. It is without end. It is forever, an everlasting punishment. And those that are lost go into that everlasting punishment, but those that are saved enter into life eternal. Let me ask you, friend, this morning, which direction are you headed? Are you headed to a place of life eternal where the righteous abide in the glory of heaven? Or are there things in your life that are not forgiven sins that are going to take your life and your eternal soul to hell? The attributes of hell. Look with me as we go down through this list this morning. Hell is a place that you want to avoid. Hell is a place that you want to stay out of. The world's greatest preachers, the apostles, they talked about a place called hell. The apostle Peter, the apostle Paul, the apostle John, they warned about a place called hell. Let me find my place in this pulpit today and warn you about a place called hell as well. And if, friend, today you've become complacent, if you become lukewarm, if you become careless in the walk of life and you're not on your way to heaven, know this of a surety. If you're not going to heaven, you are going to hell. There is no alternative. There is no in-between. Hell is not purgatory where somebody can pray or pay you out of. Hell is not just temporary, there for a little while and over. Hell is more than just a figment of the imagination, but it is a real torment. At all costs, I don't want to go to hell. I read that email this week from a backslider that sent me an email that said that she had been listening to Mixler and some of the sermons had caused her to want to come back to God. She's in another state now, in a city where there is no church that I know of. Maybe one close by will try to get her involved. But here's what I know, not every prodigal, not every backslider makes it back to God. Not everyone makes it back to God. So I urge you today through the counsel of God's word here that there is a hell that we must avoid. There is a hell that warns us. There is a hell that alarms us. There is a hell that should scare us not to go the way of the world, but call on the name of the Lord. Notice with me as we go down through this story, the Bible said that the rich man, he fared sumptuous every day, but when he died, he went to hell and he had nothing. Hell is a place of loneliness without your possessions. Hell is a place where you're not taking your money. You're not taking your possessions. You're not taking anything you've accumulated in this world. Notice when that rich man died,
he was poor. Notice when that rich man died, he was penniless. Notice when that rich man died, he no longer had that mansion. He no longer fared sumptuously, but he had nothing left. Hell is a place without possessions. Notice the Bible said that the holy angels of God escorted Lazarus into the presence of God. But not so much in hell. There are no holy angels to comfort you in hell. Hell is a place absent of the holy angels of God. And only the foul, evil spirits of the demons that rebelled against God abide in hell. Friend, I certainly don't have the ability to describe hell for you this morning. But I would you would allow your imagination through the counsel of this scripture to realize hell is an awful place. Hell is a tormenting place. That hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. But it's a place without possessions. It is a place without the angels of God. It is a place of deep descent. For the Bible said the rich man looked up. As he, this rich man, was cast into the heart of the earth, there he looked up. He looked up after falling deep into that horrible pit we know as hell. I remember Gary Hampton preaching on hell years ago and talked about when they had drilled into the heart of the earth and how the unbearable temperature stopped those men from drilling into the heart of the earth. It was estimated that they maybe 70 miles into the heart of the earth, that the temperatures were so hot that there was no expansion, there was no drilling possible. And I remember Gary Hampton talking about the fact that you're a little over 1 hour's drive away to hell, that if it's just 70 miles into the heart of the earth, that it's just, my friend, a little over 1 hour, 1 hour to the heart of the earth where temperature's unbearable. I say, my God, this morning, if you're here, you're lost and undone. I pray, God, that you would hear this feeble attempt of a message come to this altar and say, God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die lost, but I want to be saved by the power of God. Amen. I'd love to see somebody get saved today, wouldn't you? Amen. Why don't somebody lift your hand toward heaven and say, God, would you save somebody today? Would you save some lost today? Do it. Oh, church, come on. Let's call out on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, would you save somebody's lost soul today? Save somebody's lost soul today. Hallelujah. Notice the Bible teaches us that hell is a place of separation. Notice hell is a place of separation. This rich man is alone. There is no fellowship in hell. There are no family reunions in hell. You say, preacher, you're trying to sound, make it sound so dark. You're exactly right. I'd love to make it sound so bleak, so dismal that no person I ever preached to would ever think about dying lost and going to hell. But there will be no brotherly fellowship in hell. There will be no youth groups in hell. There will be no camp meetings in hell. There will be no altar calls in hell. There will be no families getting together encouraging. It's a place of outer darkness. It's a place of loneliness. It's a place of separation. It's a place God designed to punish sin, but not to punish you. I pray to God you'd come to God today and say, God, would you save my soul? It's a place of separation. Depart from me into everlasting darkness, for I never knew you. Jesus said, I knew you not. It's a place separated from the presence of God. Even being in this service today, feeling the presence of God, feeling the glory of God, even if you're lost today. When the Spirit of God came into this building, there was a soothing presence. There's a comforting presence. Even if you're lost, to feel the presence of God. But it's not that way in hell. It is not that way in this place. For the presence of God is not there. God has withdrew himself. And you can never feel conviction. You can never feel the comfort of God's presence. You can never feel the Spirit of God come to you and woo you to an altar of repentance. You'll never, ever feel that in hell. It's a place of outer, utter darkness. It's a place of separation. It's a place without mercy. It's a place of absolute, miserable mercilessness. It's a place where God cannot extend his mercy. Think about it. Think about the lowness of sin. Think about how far some people go from God, but God reaches for them. God reaches for them. And God reaches for them. But when God sends a man to hell, he steps over the line of God's mercy. He steps over the line of God's ability to reach that man. And God cannot send his mercy to a soul in hell. Hear me, friend, as we're in the house of God today, you can feel the mercy of God. You can feel the love of God and the grace of God, but hell is a place without God's mercy. Think about those of you that are saved when you felt the mercy of God, when you felt the goodness of God, when you felt God pulling you to salvation. You can never feel that. Young men, you think about when you stand in the choir and feel the presence of God. You cannot feel the Spirit of God in hell. You cannot feel the mercy of God in hell. You cannot feel the grace of God in hell. We don't have that ability, because inside of us is that God-shaped hole to where we feel the presence of God. But in hell, it's so dark. And in hell, it's so bleak that you can't feel God even when you want to feel God. It's a place of remembrance. This man remembered the mercy of God. He remembered his brethren. He remembered his life. He remembered all of that. Hell will be a place of remembrance. Hell will be a place where you remember you rejected God, where you decided you didn't want to serve God, where you walked away from God. It will be a place of remembrance. Isn't it amazing? This man has more of a burden for the lost than many church people. He begins to beg, "Would you send somebody to save my brethren? I have five brethren." And he begs Abraham, "Send somebody, send somebody, send somebody." In hell, it's a place begging for God's mercy. It's a place begging for the presence of God. He asked for one drop of water. We've heard that preached many times, but it's a place where God cannot satisfy us in any merciful compassion. But there, throughout all of eternity, that insatiable desire. This man is in prison and he cannot get out. It's like recently I read about a man that was cast by the judge to a prison sentence of over 700 years. I wouldn't even read the crimes that this man committed. They're so awful. But the judge sentenced him to over 700 years in the penitentiary. And as he was being shackled and taken back to his cell, one of the victims shouted out and said, "Your hell is just beginning. Your hell is just beginning." Can I tell you, as wrong and as awful as the crimes that man committed, when those officers of the court shackled him and took him back to the penitentiary, they were not taking him to hell. They were not taking him to hell because no earthly judge can condemn you to hell. Only the God of heaven can condemn somebody to hell. No judge can condemn you to hell. That man was not on his way to hell because even in prison, he could find times of comfort because he would go to sleep. And as he slept, maybe he could forget he was in prison. Maybe he could dream thoughts of a family or pleasantries. He could go to sleep. He was served meals. And as he ate his food, maybe for a momentary respite, he had the ability to forget he was in prison. At 1 hour a day, he was let out into the courtyard to see the sunshine and to feel the sun's rays upon his skin. But in hell, it's not that way. There's no chance to go to sleep. There's no meals that are served to you. And there's no chance to see the sunshine. But it is complete outer darkness. Even in prison, that man was visited by preachers that had a chance to lead him to conversion, that he could give his heart to God. In hell, it will never, ever be that way. There is no chance for conversion. There are no altar calls, and there's no chance to be saved. In hell, he had a lawyer that was pleading his case at the court to try to get his prison sentence reduced. In hell, there is no one pleading your case. In hell, there is no lawyer trying to get you out. In hell, there is no family member trying to raise any awareness for your case. There is nobody pleading your case. In hell. And although that prison sentence was 700 years, it was still temporary. He was not going to live 700 years, but no judge of this earth can give you an eternal sentence. It's only 50 years, 100 years, or 500 or 700 years, and it's still temporary. But the judgment that Christ gives when he sends a man to hell is forever and ever and ever and ever. And Jesus told this story 2,000 years ago. And this rich man is no closer to getting out now than the day his soul was cast into hell. There is no chance of getting out. The sentence is everlasting. That man that was sentenced to 700 years could not bear the thought of his prison sentence. That man committed suicide in that penitentiary. When he breathed his last breath, my friend, that is when his hell began. That is when he entered a place of no mercy, a place of a never-ending torment. My good news for you today as I preach this message is that you have the ability to avoid hell. You have the ability to come to the altar today and hear this raspy voice of a message, but call out on God and say, that last Sunday in July of 2017, I got out of my prison, I got out of sin, I got out of Satan's hold, and God saved me, and God wrote my name down in a book of life. Friend, I may not be able to know who I'm preaching to specifically, but I do know the burden of God this morning, that God will save your soul. I said God will save your soul if you'll come to the altar today. Regardless of the sin, regardless of the darkness, regardless of how backslid or far from God you might be, God will save you today. For there is a way to avoid hell. There is a way to avoid hell. Oh, it's not learning the songs of the church. No. It's not leaving this church today saying, I'm going to be better to my family. No. It's not joining the choir. Or it's not shaking the preacher's hand at the door on your way out. There's only one way. There's only one way to avoid hell today. And that's to come to the altar if you're lost, backslid, lukewarm, complacent on God. And call out on the name of Jesus. To call out on the name of the Son of God as Brother Mar begins to play and sing. To call out on the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to write my name in the book of life. Save my soul today. Save my soul today. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, save somebody's soul today. Save a life, save a heart right now. How many lift a hand and say, God, would you save somebody today? Would you save somebody's heart today in the name of Jesus? While the church is praying, while the church is worshiping the Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, give us an altar. God, give us a soul, spare a soul in the name of Jesus right now we plead the blood. Oh, church, call on the name of the Lord. Would you do it? Would you do it in Jesus' name? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sinner, meet me at this altar right now. Backslider, would you stand and come right now in Jesus' name? Right now in Jesus' name. Would you stand and meet me at this altar right now in Jesus' name? Oh, be bold. Would you save my life? Would you save me right now? Right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's stand all over this building. Let's worship our God. Let's magnify our God. Let's love Him. Oh, let's love Him. Let's worship the Lord right now. Oh, God.
Hear my.
Oh, do it, Lord. Do it right now. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you here, friend? Are you here? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to be washed in the blood of Jesus? Is there a young person? Is there a mom or a dad right now? You'll step into the aisle. Come to this altar and say, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. 30 more seconds. And I'll close this altar and we'll come pray. Come on right now. Do it, friend. Right now in the name of Jesus. Is there a mom? Is there a young man, young woman? 20 seconds. I'll close this altar. Come on, friend, right now. Right now. You're tired of keeping up the hour. You're tired of just looking like you're saved. You're tired of playing games. You're ready to be saved. You're ready to know that you're saved. 10 seconds. We're going to make an altar. We're going to make an altar. Hurry, hurry, quickly. Do it in Jesus' name. Do it in Jesus' name. God bless her right now. Do it in Jesus' name. I didn't even know she was here. She was sitting behind Brother Wayne today. God bless her. God bless this mother, this grandmother, somebody else, somebody else. My 30 seconds is over. I'm done. Do you need to be saved? Do you need to be saved right now? There's mercy. There's forgiveness. There's deliverance. God's calling right now. God's calling right now. God's calling right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Right now. Right now. Right now. God bless that young man. God bless that young man. Come on right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. You may not even know how to be saved. But just know that you want to be saved. And you don't want to go to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Eddie's grandson. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is this all? Is this all? Is this everybody? There's mercy right now. There's grace right now. Oh, thank God for helping us right now. I said, thank God for helping us this morning. Oh, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, this is the way to avoid hell. This is the way to stay out of hell. Any more young people? Any more young people? I feel like there's a young person in here. Amen. I just feel it on my heart right now. There's a young person in this building. God's pulling on your heart. God's pulling on your life right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm throwing out the lifeline. I'm done. I'm done. But the Spirit of God is pulling your heart. The Spirit of God is pulling your heart. Come on. Oh, come on right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Glory. Glory. Come on, church, if you would. Come on right now. Thank God for these that are praying. Oh, let's call on the Lord. Let's call on the Lord. Oh, let's call on the Lord. Let's call on the Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God.
Savior, hear my humble
cry. Oh, Jesus.